Now, today we are going to study chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, starting from verse 1. Go ahead.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead.
Now, when you read this, it says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write. When you say angel of the church, that is the pastor. Pastor is just like an angel. Angel's work is giving message. And the pastor's job also giving the message, what he receives from God. So he said, write to the angel of the Sardis church. And then he says, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Who has these seven spirits of God and who has the seven stars? We learned last time, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Please read.
The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Now see here it says seven stars. What those seven stars are? Those seven stars are the angel of the seven churches. And we learned angels means the ministers, the pastors. So the seven stars he has here. And then he said the seven spirit of God. Now we know that seven stars Jesus Christ is holding in his hand. That means Jesus Christ is controlling the pastors. Pastors and ministers are supposed to be in the hand of God. And then we read in the Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, seven spirits of God. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 1 verse 4.
John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Now he's saying seven spirit which are before his throne. You cannot see the spirit with your eyes, can we? No. St. John chapter 4 verse 24, he says, God is spirit, and whoever worships him, they should worship him in the spirit and truth. Please read.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Now here it says God is spirit. Now, if God is spirit, and go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, he says, seven spirits of God. Now, God is spirit, and God has seven spirits. What does it mean? Each and every person has a one spirit. God has seven spirits. So, seven is the number of perfection. That means our God has the spirit, and that spirit is complete, means God knows everything and spirit does so many things. So here says that God has the seven spirit. Now go to the Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. We see those spirits before the throne of God.
And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
Now see how he saw the spirits. He said those seven spirits, they were burning like a lamps. And he says those seven lamps represents the seven spirit. So now Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, he says, the person who is talking to the Sardis church, that person is the Son of God. And he says he is holding seven stars and he has the seven spirit of God. Now somebody would say, he says the seven spirit of God. And this says Jesus Christ holds the seven ministers in his hand. How come seven spirit of God Jesus possess? Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we worship triune one God. So when we say God the Father has the seven spirit, God the Son has the seven spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is spirit itself. So he says, all these seven spirits, there are seven spirit of God, they are before the throne of God, those are the spirit of God. And when John saw it, he saw like seven lamps burning. And then the seven lamps burning, he says, what is these seven lamps? These seven lamps had the seven spirits. Go to the Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Now, these seven spirits were sent to the earth when Jesus Christ was ministering to people in this world.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
Now, these are the seven spirits. And these seven spirits were upon Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ came into this world, and he had the knowledge of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and everything what you see in these words. They were all belong to Jesus Christ. So now, Jesus Christ is not on earth physically. In spirit, he is with us, but he is in heaven. So when Jesus Christ was talking to the John the Revelator, in the Sardis church, he's saying, who is talking to John, who had the seven spirits and who has the seven stars, and he is the talking. Now what he is saying, Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, he says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name and thou livest and are dead. So he says, I know your works. But when we will read a little bit further, he says, your works are not good before the God. Let's read the words too. I'll show it to you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 2.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God.
See, here in this first verse, he says, I know thy works and you have a name. And you are alive, but you are dead. Now, someone would say, how come? He says, this church has a name. Name can be good name. Now, there are some churches, they have a good name. They have 20,000 to 25,000 members churches. So, some churches are big. But in that church, he will not say, confess your sins. He will not say repent. He will say positive thinking and good about people and everything good. And so if you see, the church is alive, but in the sight of God is dead. Any big church, those churches I'm talking about, the nominal churches, those churches are not full gospel churches. Full gospel church means the people believe in born-again experience, repentance, receiving Jesus Christ, immersion baptism, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongue, healings, miracles, and holy living, and all these things the churches preaches, those churches call full gospel churches. Other churches are nominal churches. They might have a big buildings. They might have big projects. Some of the churches are doing so many things. Now, there is a church on the highway. The name is New Life Church. Now, you can say New Life Church when you have name. People think, hey, these people might be born again. But I met some of the people who call themselves New Life Church, but they are dead. Spiritually dead. They are not born again. They are not saved. Calling themselves New Life. Now, why these people are doing it? Because they want to attract people to their churches. So they give a very fancy name, like a Reformed Church, or like some kind of exciting name that they are alive. He says, you have a good name. You think that you're alive, but you are dead. And the second word we read, that I found out your works are not perfect before God. What does it mean? The man can appreciate what you're doing. There are churches like a Salvation Army church. That church is social church. Any disaster comes, they go and help the people and do so many good things. But in the sight of man, that church is alive, church is good, good name and everything. If you ask anybody and say, do you know Salvation Army? You would not find anybody who doesn't know the Salvation Army. Christmas time, they ring the bell, and everybody knows that they have bucket, and they have Salvation Army cloth or uniform. So everybody knows. But if you ask somebody, do you know Salvation Army's church doctrine? Ask any pastor. Ask any bishop. They would not know. Many, many pastors I asked, they are living in America, and they do not know what the church teaches. When I tell them, they don't believe in communion or Lord's Supper, they don't believe in water baptism, they don't believe in Holy Spirit. And so, wow, I didn't know that. So they have big name, big church, big musical band and everything. They have good name, but the Word of God says, but when we see your work, that church works before God, it's not perfect. Why? Because they are spiritually dead. You can have so many activities going on. Some churches, they have basketballs, they have footballs, there are all kinds of program. So many programs, so many things, but some of them might be spiritually dead. So that's what the Word of God is saying. Now, let's read the verse, chapter 3, verse 2, one more time.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God.
Now what he's saying, be watchful. Now he says, I already told you what's wrong with you. But each time the Word of God says something, weakness of church or weakness of somebody, he gives warning. He says, be watchful. What are you watching for? Because the troubles and trials and problems are coming into this world. But the Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming for his people. He's coming for his bride. If you are not ready, we are going to miss it. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 36.
Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
And so we have to be always watching and praying, preparing ourselves. When Jesus Christ comes, we will be gone. And then Revelation chapter 3, verse 2 again. Then he says, and strengthen the things which remain. Now, strengthen. He says, you are spiritually dying. Now, if anybody is sick in the hospital or in their house, if they are very strong and healthy, but when the sickness comes, they lose all this power and strength and everything, and they become very weak. Those weak people, they have no strength to get up or stand or anything. And so this is the situation of this church. Not physically, but spiritually, that church is dying and losing the strength. So what the Word of God is saying, how can you renew your strength? I'll give you a couple of verses. Read the Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
See, your youth shall be renewed like an eagle. So he renews our strength. But he says, first of all, you recognize what God has done for us. People are not grateful. And once God is gracious, loving, and kind, he forgives our sins. He is a good God. When you come to him, come with a humble heart and say, Lord, wash me with your precious blood. make me your child and keep me healthy and strong. So he says he will do those things once you are in the Lord. He will satisfy your soul. Spiritually, he will give you strength. We are not talking about physical strength. We are talking about the spiritual strength. Go to the Isaiah chapter 40 and read verses 29 to 31.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
See, once you love the Lord and follow the Lord and live for Jesus Christ, then whatever we do, he gives us his spiritual strength and the power. Here also he uses the word eagle, and Psalm 103 also we heard like an eagle. Eagle is the only one bird. When he gets old, he loses his feathers, and then he gets his feather back. If we are weary, we are weak, we are physically tired or spiritually tired, go to God, run to God. When you go to God, run to God and pray to God and ask God to renew your strength. So Jesus Christ is telling this church, be watchful, be strengthened, because your works are not perfect in the sight of God. So you have chance to renew your strength as long as you have little strength. CPR they do, and then they have some electronic things, they push it on your heart and then bring you back to life. But if the person is dead, no CPR will work, no machine will work. So if you have little life, they try to bring you back to this world and give you more strength to live. So here he says, you have little strength, you have no strength, you are dying, you have no good work in the sight of God, you are not perfect, everything is wrong. But God says, I am going to renew your strength if you come to me. Go to the Revelation chapter 3, verse 3.
Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
Now again he says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Now he says, remember, that means he is trying to say you were doing something good, something happened. What happened that you stopped loving me or stopped doing the things of God or went astray? You see, sometimes there are lovers, they get married. Before they get married, they are very anxious to get married. When they get married, 2 years, 3 years, 7 years, slowly their love start getting cold and cold and cold towards their wife. And this is what's happening. If they come to me for counseling, what I'm going to say, remember first how you got into enroll in this girl, or how you got enrolled in this boy or this husband. Remember, tell me. And then they say how they met and how they were excited and how they got married and things like that. Then I say, what went wrong? Remember. And that's what the word of God is saying. Remember what was happening. Go to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 5.
Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
See, here also say, remember from where you fall. And then you say, do the first works. That means, each and every time, if something goes wrong, that means your love gets colder, and if your relationship with God gets colder, there is some obstacle coming. And that's why he says, remember. And then he says, what is remembering? He says, remember how you received Jesus Christ. Are you Christian? Oh yeah, I'm Christian. How do you know you're Christian? Oh wow, my mother is Christian, my father is Christian, and all the relatives are Christian. Does that make you Christian? People will say, why not? If you're born in Muslim family, you're Muslim. If you're born in Hindu family, you're Hindu. You're born in Christian family, you're supposed to be Christian. No. How you became Christian? You have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are born again. When you're receiving Christ means what? Christ doesn't come in this sinful vessel. So before he comes, you say, Lord, please forgive all my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me with your precious blood. In Jesus' name I pray. As soon as person says that, Jesus comes to stay in our life. That means each and every person has to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Once you do that, then you are a child of God. St. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, as many as received him, who? Jesus Christ. To them he gives power or authority to be called the sons of God.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Verse 13.
Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
See, this born again experience, this is not physical, but spiritual. Once you receive Jesus Christ, he says, then you are a child of God. You are born from above, born from heaven. And how it happens? You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what he's saying. Remember how you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he says, remember how you heard. What are you hearing? Before you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you hear something. What you hear? You hear about Jesus Christ. You hear the gospel. There is a scripture. Go to the book of Romans chapter 10 and start reading from verse 13.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
See what he's saying? Whosoever. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, say somebody says, oh Lord Jesus, please forgive me, please touch me, please heal me, please save me. That's why somebody has to call upon God, and that person will be saved. It's not automatically because your mother and father are Christian, you become a Christian. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Keep on reading.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Right. So here is saying you have to hear the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, the faith comes in your heart, and then you believe the gospel, you believe about Jesus Christ, and then your life changes. That's what called born again experience. If you are in a Christian family, and if your mother and father is not saved, and you are not saved if you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Means what? You are not Christian. Don't call yourself Christian if you did not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please read.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
See, if someone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, that person is none of his, means he cannot call himself Christian. And then we learn how you get the Spirit of Christ. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then God puts the Spirit of his Son in you. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
See what he's trying to say? Because you are sons. How you became sons? You received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He said, now I'm going to give you the same Spirit my Son has. I'm going to take His Spirit and give it to you. You remember when Moses having trouble and he wants to give the judgment to so many people and he got tired and weary. God says, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take your Spirit and put it on the 70 other people and they will be judges. So same thing God is doing, taking the Spirit of Christ and giving to all the believers so they will be just like Christ. Christ is our older brother and we are His brother. So we got the Spirit of Christ. So Christ says to His Father, Abba, we can call our Heavenly Father, Abba. And that's what the Word of God is saying. Once you have that kind of experience with Jesus Christ, then you are a child of God. You are born again, child of God. Your name is written in heaven and you have belonged to Jesus Christ. And that's what the Word of God is saying. So He says, remember how you received and how you heard. When you receive Jesus Christ, you heard the Word of God. When you say heard the Word of God is Jesus Christ. Do you know the Word of God is Jesus Christ? If you read in the St. John chapter 1 and first 2-3 verses.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
Now, the Word of God is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when you read the verse 14, the same chapter, then we know who that Word of God is.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
See, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. That's what He took the form of a baby in the Mary's womb, and Mary gave the birth to the baby. That was Jesus. That's what they say. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word of God is saying, how did you receive Jesus Christ? How did you hear about Him? And if you remember that, then you know where you're falling from. And somebody says, oh, I was sitting in that church and some pastor told me about Jesus and I received Him as my Lord and Savior. Now I remember how I got saved. When you ask somebody, are you Christian? I don't know. Somebody says, are you Christian? No, I'm not. Who are you? I'm Baptist. Are you Christian? No, I'm not. Who are you? I'm Catholic. Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, that is not the Christian. That is just the church denomination. Christian is the experience with Jesus Christ, the love relationship with Jesus Christ. Go back to the Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3.
Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
See what he's trying to say. First of all, he says, remember how you received, how you heard. And then he says, now if you come to know, this is what I got saved. This is the way I got saved. This is the way I received Jesus Christ. Then he says, hold fast. That means don't let go your spiritual experience. And then he says, repent. I want to ask forgiveness of my sins, but I don't have time. So the Word of God says, our life is what? Like a bubble. We do not know when we're going to die, right? We do not know when Jesus Christ is coming. No one has the power to hold Jesus. Jesus, don't come. I'm not ready. If the end of the world came, then we won't have service. So I'm not worried about the end of the world because I am ready all the time. I do not have to worry that when Jesus Christ comes, I will be left behind because I have asked forgiveness of my sins. Jesus Christ lives in me and I am watching. Here he says, watch. And so we learn Luke chapter 21, verse 36, watch and pray because Jesus Christ is coming. Now he says, when he's coming, he says, you do not know the hour when I'm coming. And I'm coming as a thief. Now the thief doesn't tell you when he's coming. But here the word of God is saying, I'm going to come as a thief. You would not know what time I'm coming. Read the Matthew chapter 24, verse 42.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
See, again he says, watch therefore, you do not know what hour, what time Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ did not give time, an hour, or minute. He says, I can come anytime. You just watch and pray because you don't know what time Jesus Christ is coming. Many churches, they don't tell people to be ready. Jesus Christ is coming. So here the word of God is saying, God did not tell us what time he's coming. Or we have CDs and DVDs. Watch the CDs and watch those DVDs. Then you know what to do when you left behind. I guarantee you, you will not be able to stand before that Antichrist. He will chop your head off. And that's the only way we can go to heaven. There is no other way. And so if you want to go to heaven, this is the good day to just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, let's go to the Revelation chapter 3, verse 4.
Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
Now here is saying, you have few names, means few people good in the Sardis church. And they did not defile their garments. What I'm going to do, these people will walk with me, the people who has the good garments, they did not defile their clothes, and they are living holy and clean life, and they are worthy. In the church, there are people who are good and people who are bad. But God does not want only good people go. He wants bad people also become good. Because Jesus Christ was going and talking to Sadducees and Pharisees, and he's going and talking to the sinners and the prostitute. He said, well, I came for the sinners, the people who are lost. I came to win them back to God. So God wants bad people to turn to good people. If the person says, I'm not bad, I'm good, then you cannot win that person to Jesus. Because Jesus said, I did not come for the righteous people. I came for sinners. So what does it mean? If you want to receive Jesus Christ, you have to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know you died for sinners. And I am a sinner. And please forgive my sins and wash me with your precious blood. And that's the way Jesus forgives our sins. So here they say there are some people out there did not defile their garments. Means God has given us the garment. If you read a little bit the following verse, then two verses will join together. Read the verse 5 also.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
In the verse 4 he says, some of the people did not defile their garments, and their garments are white, and they are worthy. And verse 5 he says, some of these people's garments are white. Who are those people? He says, those people are overcomers. How these people's garments are white, and what is the meaning of the white garment? Let's read the Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
See what he's trying to say? Once you are born again, child of God, God gives you the robe of righteousness. How it happens? Once you stand before God as a sinner, we have filthy rags, filthy garment, ugly looking person, not outwardly, inwardly. So the person is filthy in the sight of God. So we cannot reach holy God. So what Jesus Christ does, he washes us with his precious blood. When you say, wash me with your precious blood, then we became clean and white. And then God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, you are righteous, you are worthy, you are holy. and all the spiritual beauty starts shining as a bride of Christ. So that's what he's saying. Now he says you are white garment because you are overcomer. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 19. He says like a bride. Revelation 19 verse 7 and 8.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
See, the fine linen, the white garments, is the righteousness of the saints. Somebody says saints means what? Saints means the believers, the born-again children of God. And some people say saint means they have to be pope or bishop or some good person like Mother Teresa or somebody like that, then they will be saints. But in the Bible, saints means the born-again children of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all saints of God. We don't have to be pope or bishop or somebody like that. We are all the saints of God. So he said the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And how we got the righteousness? By the blood of Jesus Christ. So we got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then the verse 4 we read, that your clothes are white and you are worthy and you are going to walk with God. So read the Revelation chapter 14 verse 1.
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
Now, I don't have time, but you have read this chapter at least 4 or 5 verses. Now, here it says the Lamb is Jesus Christ, standing on the Mount Zion. When we are studying the book of Revelation, I'm going to explain to you this chapter very well. But here it's saying the Lamb is now in the Mount Zion, and the people are following him wherever he goes. So here in the Revelation chapter 3 verse 4 it says, and they shall walk with me in white garments. So that means if you want to walk with God, you have to be holy. Unholy person cannot walk with God, because God is a very holy God. So once you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the book of Hebrews, he says, now we have holy boldness to stand before God and pray. If you have sin in your life, you don't want to face God. I'll give a small example. Just think, husband and wife, and they have one child, maybe 5 children, doesn't matter how many. One child, and he loves mommy and he loves daddy. And daddy every day brings some candies or some good stuff. And the child looks for father every day. Just think that day, that boy did something mischievous. Mommy says, wait until your daddy comes. The boy said, mommy, I want to go to bed. But your daddy is coming. No, 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 I want to sleep. Why he doesn't want to face daddy? Because he believes that daddy is going to give some punishment. So same way, the word of God says, if your heart doesn't condemn you, you have a confidence towards God. If your heart starts condemning you, you are not going to walk with God. Now, there are people who do not go to church. Why they are not go to church? Because they know when you go to church, pastor is going to say, you are sinners, you repent, you come to Christ, and all these things they don't want to hear. So what they do, if you don't go to church, if you don't have a God, then we will be all right. Just like a cat, close his eyes, drink the milk. Why she's closing eyes? She says, nobody's watching me. Nobody's watching. How do you know? But you see what the cat does. Cat will close her eyes, drink the milk, and then take the palm of her hand and washes her face. What does it mean? She doesn't want anybody to know that she drank the milk. And so that's the way the people are doing. They say, if you don't go to church, we go outside and do anything. Nobody knows what the Bible says. Read the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
See, he says God is watching. His cameras are everywhere. We read in this book that he has the seven spirit burning. So he says, like a camera going everywhere, his eyes is looking everywhere, underground, beyond the wall, and everywhere. So he says, there is nothing hidden in my eyes. The word of God is saying, your garments are good, you walk worthy with me, so you're going to walk with me. Read the Amos chapter 3, verse 3. He says, how can two people walk together unless they agree?
Can two walk together except they be agreed?
See, can two walk together except they be agreed? You're going to walk with me, but he says, if you want to walk with me, be agree with me. What does it mean? What God wants? Agreement. He wants agreement means give up your sin, give up your sinful habit, and receive me, and then I'll be your God, you'll be my child. Or you will be my children and I'll be your father. Just go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Start reading from 15, 16.
And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
Keep on reading.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
See, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them. Okay, keep on reading.
Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
See, so he said, if you want to walk with me, if you want to talk with me, then what you do, come out among those people. Who are those people? The people who are sinners. People are not living for God. People are doing all kinds of sinful activity. Come out of them, and not only come out, don't touch unclean thing. Now somebody says, what are the unclean things I should not be touching? Don't touch cigarette, don't touch liquor, don't touch anything can defile your body, and stay away from sinful activity.
And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Yeah, then I will be your father, and you'll be my children. So he says, you're going to walk with me, I'm going to have fellowship with you, but you come among those people and walk with me. Okay, and go back to the verse 5, Revelation 3, 5.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
See, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Now, there are people who teaching, some of the churches, they are teaching, once you are born again, once you saved, saved forever. But here is saying, I will not blot out your name from my book, means if you overcome, if you confess your sins, if you walk with me, if you be my child, then I will not blot out your name. But if you do not, then what? Then your name will be blotted out. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and verses 32 and 33.
Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.
Now here the Moses is saying, you know what, take my name out of your book. If you're not forgiving my people and if you're not going with me, take my name out of this book. What God says.
And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
See, he's very clear. If somebody commits sin and don't walk according to the word of God, he says, I will take their name out of my book, the book of life, a book of the Lamb's book of life. He says, I will take their name out. But the church, he is giving promise, if you overcome, if you have righteousness, means white garment and white cloth, righteousness of God, I will not take your name out of the book of life. And then again, you go back to the Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. And then he says, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That means, he says, once you are victorious, that's the time we are going to go to heaven. And Jesus Christ will witness, look at this, she overcomer, she or he is overcomer. And he will say, declare your name in front of God. The Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 to 33. Here is saying, if you want Jesus Christ honor you in front of his Father, what you supposed to do?
Go ahead. 10:28.
28 to 33.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven.
Okay, that's it. So here is saying, if you give your life for Christ, if you suffer for Christ, then he says, when you are victorious, I will confess your name before my Father. Okay, let's go back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 6 is the last verse.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Now, this is not so secret. It's a very simple verse. He says, if you have ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That means this message for us, each and every church, whatever the message given to each and every church is given to us. So he says, if you have ears, hear. People say, well, I have ears, but how do you know that you are hearing? If you hear something, you obey. You put it in your practice. He says, do not be hearers only, but what? Doers of the work. Okay, word. And so who is saying this? The Spirit saying. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you. Somebody says, I don't understand the Holy Spirit. You will understand. The Holy Spirit will whisper to you, if you're doing anything wrong, don't do it, don't do it, danger zone. So the Spirit always speaks to you. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. There are people dying without God and without Christ. You have given us grace to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Give us grace to spread the word. Tell others about Jesus Christ. And give us grace to live clean and holy life until Jesus Christ comes. We commit our bodies, our souls, our spirits into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.